3:06 on a Friday afternoon. We're coming to you live from the Midtown Atlanta studios of Georgia Public Broadcasting. It's Political Rewind. Jim Galloway, a political writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I don't know who picked today's theme song, but in case people didn't get it, that was Charlie Daniels' The Devil Comes Down to Georgia, and I can't help but wonder if it was a comment on either the Republican PACs or the Democratic money in the 6th District race.
Well, I'm going to say Al Jazeera.
Yeah, okay, good. Jim Galloway, of course, is in the Thursday and Sunday Dead Tree edition of the AJC, and he oversees the Political Insider blog, which you can read at AJC.com. As always, we ask you, what are you writing for Sunday?
I'm writing about how this stuff about John Ossoff and Al Jazeera is a bunch of hooey.
All right, we're going to get into that, of course, as we discuss in some detail the 6th District race. The vote, as most people know, is coming up on Tuesday. We welcome for the first time to Political Rewind, Melita Easters. She's a longtime Democratic activist in Georgia. She was a part of the Roy Barnes gubernatorial administration. She's now the executive director of the Georgia Win List, whose mission is, Melita?
To elect and support Democratic pro-choice women running for statewide office and legislative seats. We've elected 55 women in our 17-year history, 31 of whom still serve in the legislature.
All right. And we're going to talk with Melita about all of this, but certainly about the Planned Parenthood decision that President Trump, the bill that he signed yesterday. Chip Lake is back, Republican strategist. We're glad to have you at the microphones again, Chip.
Happy to be back, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Right before we went on the air, you said, boy, has it been fascinating to watch this 6th District race. All right, we're going to get into that. And Michael Owens, the chairman of the Cobb County Democratic Party, is with us wearing his Harvard pin. I didn't know until I saw that pin. You were a Harvard man.
No, that's Harvard.
Happy to be here.
I think we should always start with you, defer to you. No, we're not really going to do that.
Okay.
All right. Let me give you a few news headlines before we get going. President Trump's senior advisors are going to meet next week to resolve the feud that's been going on in the White House and outside between moderates and the nationalist wing of the Trump team about whether or not the Trump White House should in fact honor the Paris Treaty Accords, the environmental accords. We think it's going to happen on Tuesday. Politico reports that. Nikki Haley was interviewed last night, and she said she absolutely has no interest in running for president. She says, quote, everyone thinks I'm ambitious. Everybody thinks I'm trying to run for somebody, something. And everybody thinks that and a lot more. She told CNN, I can't imagine running for the White House. And then finally, an interesting note, Bernie Marcus, the founder of Home Depot, who is still based right here in Atlanta, wrote an op-ed piece for Real Clear Politics that appeared on their website overnight, saying that the business community, this is his quote, is brimming with optimism across America, the highest level in 10 years. He says he knows it because he hears it from colleagues every day. We're hopeful, he says, and for good reason. President Trump is moving his job creation agenda forward resolutely. Jim, Bernie Marcus has been a Trump guy from the very beginning.
A very, very strong fellow, and I would imagine he's going to be in on some of the implementation of that theory, so he may know a whole lot more than he's saying.
All right, that's right. You can read his op-ed piece on the Real Clear Politics website if you want to learn more about it. All right, here we go. Lots of little bits and pieces we can put together to talk about the 6th District race. Jim, let's start with the money. Unbelievable. $14 million spent in this race so far.
The one thing I didn't do before we went on air is I didn't see how much money was spent in the last gubernatorial race. I would think that probably rivals that.
Oh, I think that's probably quite correct.
And $6 million of that is from the Democratic, from Ossoff.
Ossoff has spent something like $5.3 million on radio, TV, and other forms of advertising.
And I think the next one would be the Congressional Leadership Fund, which is the kind of Speaker Paul Ryan's super PAC.
Yeah, and Dan Moody, Republican candidate and former legislator, spent about $2 million in campaign ads at this point. And we haven't even gotten into the last weekend, although, Melita, I suspect the money figures include the advance buys for the final few days of the race. They typically would.
But also, Ossoff has brought in political operatives from many other parts of the country, and he's spent a great deal on staff to organize the groundswell of volunteers who've just turned out by the thousand on Saturdays to canvass in that district.
Yeah, yeah. Chip, so why don't we go ahead and start handicapping this race, and then we'll get into some... Sure. First, we'll start by letting you all give your opinion, and then we'll get into some of the information.
Right.
Where is this thing headed? Are the Democrats in a position where they could put this away next Tuesday, or is that wishful thinking?
Bill, I think it's unlikely, but the fact that we're having this conversation should be pretty concerning to Republicans. I mean, it's a 19-person race. It's a Republican district, even though it's a district that was essentially a tie in the presidential election in November last year. I think Trump won it by a few hundred votes, a few thousand votes. I do think it goes to a runoff. But again, the fact that we have to have this conversation is a testament to how energized the Democratic Party is right now and how energized the Democratic base is. And they've coalesced behind one candidate. We, on the other hand, have a lot of candidates who are quality candidates, and they're all fighting with each other to try to get into second place.
Michael, you're Cobb County Democratic Party chair, and a piece of Cobb County is in that 6th district. Is it fair and true to say that Democrats seem to you to be more energized at this point than Republicans?
Yeah. I mean, no doubt, I would say. And it's not just, it didn't start with this race either, I think is important to note, right? Because as we've mentioned before on the show, you know, that Hillary Clinton actually won top of the ticket in Cobb County. So that energy had already started to manifest itself throughout, you know, it's particularly East Cobb. And that's the part of Cobb County that's actually in the 6th District. So this is not new. It's a continuance, you know, that started with the actual general election last year, and it's really just continued on. So when Melita talked about all the volunteers that came out, that's been a continuation, right? So it's just continued to push on. Another note I'd make is that, you know, we talked about from a fundraising aspect, you know, John Ossoff's raising $8.3 million.
Yeah, and yet, given what Michael's saying, Jim, a week and a half ago, he very likely might have said, and early voting shows that Democrats are turning out in much bigger numbers than Republicans. But that's equalized. Republicans have just about caught Democrats in early voting.
That has stabilized. We've got some new numbers that are going to be coming up on AJC.com. My AJC colleague Christina Torres is putting them out. We have taken a look at all of the early voting. It's closed after today, and 2/3 of those early voters also participated in last year's presidential primaries, just down the middle. Precisely 1/2 of the 2/3 chose a Democratic ballot, and 1/2 of the 2/3 chose a Republican ballot. So we've got 1/3 Democrat voters, 1/3 Republican voters, and 1/3 voters who didn't participate in the primary, so we don't know where they are.
So, okay, so what you're saying is if you look at those numbers, it's a wash. We just don't know at all, right?
I was going to say, I mean, one of the concerns we have on that regard is Jim's right with respect to the presidential primary, but those include people who cast a ballot in either the Republican or the Democratic primary. These are early voters in a special election for Congress. So if there's, and I think it's our numbers say it's a little less than 1/3, but these are what we call low propensity voters. They're not voters that you necessarily see voting in a special election. Now, that's not too concerning for Republicans, given the fact that we thought we'd be down 7 or 8 points in Kansas this week when they had a congressional election. We were down 15, and we ended up winning that race by 7 points.
Okay, but why? All right.
Here's the one thing. The one thing we have not seen, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong here. I don't think we've seen a poll yet where John Ossoff has gotten more than 45%, correct?
Yeah, he's Melita, I think 43 is the highest number 43. I've seen from him. And we caution everyone, as we have every time we talk about polls in this race, you can't poll a special election because you have no way of anticipating the turnout. Nevertheless, Ossoff has never been close to 50%, even in questionable polls.
But also, typically, Republicans early vote in higher numbers than Democrats across the board. And so to say that equal numbers of Democratic and Republican past voters have voted early goes against what you typically see when Republicans early vote in higher number.
Why don't we listen just for a second, because we've been talking about John Ossoff. We want to play some sound as we go along here. Ossoff has been the darling of national media. He's popping up all over the place on the networks, on the cable, well, certainly on MSNBC and CNN. Here's an interview that he gave the other day on MSNBC. Let's listen to just a little of what he said about the polling in the race.
Well, this community where I grew up is a moderate, pragmatic district, economically minded. I think it recognizes that extremism is bad for business. It wants effective, principled leadership. Doesn't identify as particularly partisan or ideological. I think that's one of the reasons the president had some difficulty here, and why I'm building a coalition that includes Republicans and independents, as well as Democrats, by focusing on local economic development and shared values in the community that bring people together.
That's Ossoff answering the question he was asked, which is, why do you think you're polling so well in this race?
And all of that is true. I mean, if you look, I mean, if House and Melita can speak to this, if you look at House districts and Senate districts that are kind of contained within the sixth congressional district, those are the ones where Mitt Romney did well versus more conservative candidates, where Trump did the least, where Sunday sales of alcohol do well. It's socially, it's a very moderate area.
And it's also a very high-income, well-educated area. The 6th Congressional District is one of the higher-income districts nationwide and one of the better-educated districts nationwide.
Yeah, and to that point, I mean, Donald Trump underperformed with suburban college-educated voters. For those voters that had obtained a college degree, he still did okay with that universe. I think he split it, but normally those are voters that Republicans should be winning by 10 or 12 points, and I think he split it. So if this is truly a referendum on this president, it'll be a very, very close race.
All right. Do you want to weigh in, or because I got a question for you? But you can
go ahead.
All right. So here's a question. We all looked to Kansas this week, where they had a special election on Tuesday, and the Republican won, but he only won by, I think, 6.5 points over the Democrat in a district that had gone for Trump by 27 points back in November. And here's one of the things I thought was interesting about the demographic breakdown of that vote, Michael. A lot more rural voters in that district in Kansas, people who were more likely to have been Trump voters and to support a Republican who'd go to advance the Trump agenda. Whereas here, as Chip just pointed out, the 6th is hardly a rural district. As he said, you do have better educated, higher income Republicans and Democrats alike, which makes you wonder whether or not they're going to turn out and vote perhaps across party lines. It's unlikely, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't think we can count on that, right? And I don't think that's where we're, you know, from a Democratic standpoint, we're looking at winning this race, right? Being the fact that it is a special election, we know how, quite honestly, dismal, right, turnout is in a special election. It's about how we can actually turn out the vote. So I think crossing over and trying to reach too far over it with, you know, moderates and definitely over to Republicans, try to do some persuasion is not where we, you know, not where we should be and not what's ultimately going to win us the race.
There was a special election centered in the Senate district around Dalton, Georgia, very soon after the November election. We had a woman candidate in that race, Debbie Peppers. She outperformed Hillary's numbers by 15% in that special election. And that was even before we knew how bad the Donald Trump administration would be for women.
Was this Charlie Bethel's seat?
Yes.
Okay.
She was an independent, though, right?
She was an independent. Right. But Winlist endorsed her.
Sure.
She had previously held office as a Democrat on the county commission, and her father had run for Congress in that district as a Democrat. So it was a family whose Democratic tendencies were very well known.
Yeah, she overperformed, but she still lost, correct?
She did still lose. But that 15% overperforming the Hillary statistics is very interesting.
Sure.
All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we also need to look at, according to what I'm looking at here, 84 days, 2 hours, 33 minutes, and 59 seconds ago, Trump became president. Right?
So, wait, but who's counting?
Wait, is this a special Democratic app that you've downloaded? Oh,
the point is, right, whatever
those
numbers...
He's a Harvard man. He's got all sorts of things.
Whatever those numbers look like, right, and whatever the mindset of voters who were much more Trump-aligned and those who may have held their nose and voted for him, now have 84 days to think about what's been done, right?
Well,
so that may be a big difference, too.
Equally interesting to the canvas congressional race was the fact that this week in Illinois, in municipal elections, you had Democrats winning in areas that the GOP never expected them to even be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And you're right in both that it's telling, but also pointing out these were city races. These were city elected offices. And there are a lot of other factors that obviously play into local races. But yeah, that's still something Democrats are taking heart from.
Yeah, two things, Bill. Number one, special elections are a lot like polls in the fact that if I were to do a survey today, by the time I print that data out and start looking at it tomorrow, it's dated. It's a snapshot in time. A special election's a snapshot in time. I certainly understand that's a talking point as a Republican when things aren't going your way, and I get it. But this is a double whammy for the Democrats, too. Not only do they have an opportunity to win, possibly, even though I think it's a long shot and I still like our chances in that race, not only do they have an opportunity to pick off a seat, but it's a seat that only became open because this president appointed Tom Price to be HHS Secretary, to be the architect behind the repeal of Obamacare. And so I don't know that there's any other explanation for the amount of money that John Ossoff has raised outside of Georgia than putting all those factors together in one.
No, but I will say I'll add two more points here. And number one is no matter what happens Tuesday, if Ossoff gets in this race, it's not over. There are.
What do you mean if he gets in the runoff?
If he gets in the runoff.
Yes.
It still is not a gimme contest.
No question.
For Republicans.
Yeah. No question.
Each of these top three candidates that have a chance to get in here have their vulnerabilities.
So let me throw this out to all of you and see how this resonates with you. I would suggest if Trump in fact is going to be a big factor in how people vote on Tuesday, I would suggest to you that the Donald Trump of 2 weeks ago would be less likely to suddenly energize lots of support for his side on this thing. But since then, since he has been able to turn his focus from all of the just crazy things that have been going on in the White House with staffing, with his tweets, suddenly now he's in the world of foreign policy with North Korea threatening nuclear war, with Syria being an issue. And I have to wonder if this is a different Donald Trump that people are now going to be reacting to on Tuesday.
Well, that's exactly right. You look at the Kansas results. We lost early votes by 15 points. We won Election Day votes by 18 points. What happened from the time that early voting started until Election Day voting happened? We bombed bad guys in the Middle East. And so, you know, look, whether you like this president or not, I think it's fair to say there are very few times, either in the campaign or since he's been sworn in, where he really looks like he's doing things that presidents do, whether you're Republican or Democrat. And during that time, and we're not away from that time, but when he was bombing Syria, that's what presidents do.
All right. I want to talk about one more thing about the Democratic side of this and then the Republican side, just as a symbol or to say how heated the Republican fight against Ossoff is. Let's listen to one of the ads. John Ossoff, a documentary filmmaker, has sold his films to any number of news organizations. One of them is Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera, a media outlet that has been described as a mouthpiece for terrorists, has been paying John Ossoff thousands of dollars. But John refuses to tell voters exactly how much money he's received. Just like John refuses to tell voters the truth about his experience. What is he hiding? How can we trust him?
Melita, what is John doing with that Al Jazeera money?
The Al Jazeera work that he did, I think, had a lot to do with exposing sex slavery and abuses against women in other countries.
No, that one was for the BBC Three.
Okay.
Okay, but the point is he's done work for a lot of different organizations. It's a smart ad if you're on the Republican side of
it. It's a smart ad for them.
If you are willing to take two facts and sprinkle it with a lot of stuff that produces basically what's a slander.
Yeah.
You are accusing a nice Jewish boy of consorting with Islamic terrorists.
Yeah, yes.
And that really motivates a segment of the population to get more fully involved behind him. The other thing is, when you talk about the bombing, that's a testosterone kind of vote. The anti-Trump vote shows up on the estrogen side, too, with the treatment of health care
that I've ever heard
and Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
When you have Mike Pence tweeting a photo of a bunch of pale male patriarchs deciding health care policy, that infuriates the HELL out of women voters. That motivates them to hit the streets and pound the pavement on behalf of Ossoff.
But weren't those voters engaged before the bombing of Syria in this district?
They were, but to have the testosterone side of things triumph Trump as suddenly a foreign policy whiz kid. The women see policy in a broader spectrum than just dropping bombs.
Sure. Right.
And women are the mothers of the soldiers Trump would send into these wars he's trying to start.
Yes, and as we'll discuss in a while, when we talk Planned Parenthood, there are any number of women out there who voted for Donald Trump because they just didn't like Hillary Clinton and are now dealing with the fact that he has now signed this legislation which could block Planned Parenthood funds. But, Jim, I know you got to leave in a minute. So before we do, could you just give us your take on where we stand on the Republican side of this? If Ossoff's in a runoff, Karen Handel's been up on top of this thing.
Karen Handel has been leading the polls. You figure that Bob Gray and Dan Moody are kind of roughly even here. Each one has been attacking both Handel and the other, and it's going to be interesting. And I will tell you what, I think Handel as a woman would be Trump's toughest, would be Ossoff's toughest candidate, I think, if this turns into a Donald Trump referendum.
In an effort to knock Karen Handel out of that top spot, she's been the target of a number of ads. Here's one from Dan Moody.
Here she comes again. Over the last 15 years, Karen Handel's run 6 times for 5 different offices. She usually loses, and she didn't even finish the jobs we did give her. Always running for the next office, with higher pay or a nice new Lexus on the taxpayer dime. Karen Handel isn't running for you. She's running for herself.
Yes.
Well, here, let me just in defense of Karen Handel here, okay? Yes, she did leave the Secretary of State's job early to run for governor. In doing that, she was doing Governor Sonny Perdue, her mentor, a big favor because it allowed him to appoint Brian Kemp to the position.
Right. Let me be clear. There was no intent on the part of our show to play that ad attack Karen Handel, but just to simply show
this is
a tough ad.
And look, Republican women have a tough row.
Oh. All right.
It is just really hard to win.
All right. We have to take a break in a moment because it's already just turned 3:30. We're halfway through the show. Before we do, we want to point out, I want to point out that Chip Lake and Michael Owens, before walking into this studio, went over to Fox News, the network, and did interviews about the 6th District race. So already our people are being picked off by one network. And Jim Galloway is about to leave us for this.
What about our politics? Are there any rules anymore? And if so, will anybody play by them? These days, politics could use a little refereeing. And we're not afraid to blow the whistle.
Going off to do Chuck Todd, MTP Daily. You'll be on the 5 o'clock show, right?
It's the goatee, Bill. I love the goatee. All right.
Jim, thank you. I know you do have to run to the NBC studios to do that. And we all will be watching you at 5. So have a great show. Let's take a break and come back and continue talking politics. It's 3:31.
GPB's Spring Fund Drive is about to start, but don't wait. Your contribution now at gpb.org ahead of the drive will do twice the good. You'll support the programs you enjoy, and your gift will be part of GPB's Challenge Fund to inspire others to join in supporting public radio. You'll also have a chance to win a St. Simons Island getaway to the King and Prince Beach and Golf Resort. With program costs on the rise and federal funding in question, your contribution will make a big difference. Please do your part now at gpb.org, and thanks.
Bob Mankoff has edited the New Yorker's cartoons for 2 decades.
My targets are either myself or people like me. I don't punch down, I don't punch up, I elbow to the side.
Next month, he steps aside, but he says he's not done with humor for good. I'm Audie Cornish, the New Yorker's Bob Mankoff, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered from 4 till 7 this afternoon on GPB.
Welcome back to Political Rewind. You can hear them. They're still talking. Chip Lake, Michael Owens, and Melita Easters join us today. Just a couple quick notes before we move on. We just played the Al Jazeera ad, the attack ad on Ossoff. There's been some really nasty stuff surfacing in this race. One of the Republican candidates is Mohammed Al-Bunyan. He likes to talk about being the only Muslim in the 6th district race, Chip. He sent something out on Facebook the other day. I'm going to read it. He said, some of you said that you wanted to send a message to Washington. Do you think you can send the biggest message by sending a brown South Asian and a Muslim American congressman? Just think of the impact you can have. As you know, John Ossoff, an Orthodox Jew, has already accepted millions from special interest groups and will be under the control of Jared Kushner and in turn under the control of Donald Trump. Chip, wow. What do you even say about that?
You know,
Republican.
There are, that's right. There are 19 candidates in this race. And if you don't have money or you didn't come to this race with name identification, and look, maybe 5 or 6 candidates had name ID and came to this race with name identification. So a large majority of the candidates did not. You have to say crazy stuff in order to get talked about on shows like this. I don't know that I would quite have gone that far.
Melita, Michael, I'd love to hear each
I wouldn't have, by the way, for the record. I would not have gone that far. I would have. I wanted to clarify
you
that.
Would not be coming in
no,
as
sir.
A panelist on
that's
this
right.
show
yes,
if
that's
that was
right.
your side.
I just wanted to close the loop on that, Bill.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Melita and Michael, I'd like to hear each of your takes on this. I thought it is interesting to contemplate, Melita, who Ossoff would be most likely to be able to beat in a runoff. You know the players. What are your thoughts about who is you'd like to see him take on in a runoff? Who do you think is the most vulnerable?
Perhaps Karen Handel, from my perspective.
Because?
She stands for many things that the women who are most energized about this race do not like, and she has more of a record in her public service past that gives people something to oppose her with.
Michael?
Yeah, I think I would agree. I think, especially in this time and age, looking at Karen Handel potentially maybe as a retread, I mean, going back to the commercial was just played, right? I mean, that she has been out there so many times over and over again, and I don't think that's the mood of everyone. And when it comes time to actually pumping money into this race and getting people out, I don't know that she's actually going to be able to energize people like someone else would.
A word of caution to my Democratic friends on this show, and I remember being on this show, Bill, last year during the entire Republican presidential preference process. You asked that same question.
Yep.
When I was a guest on this show, and almost unanimously, every Democrat said, Donald Trump, we'd love to run against Donald Trump. I didn't think Donald Trump could win a general election. I didn't think he could win a primary, but he won a primary and he won a general election. So I don't know who's going to be the Republican candidate in the runoff. I do think it's going to a runoff, even though we shouldn't take it for granted. I think Karen Handel, if she is the candidate, will be a very strong candidate, but we can't take anything for granted the way the energy
who
is.
Who do you right – who's the – go ahead, Michael.
I think that one of the differences will be this. I think if Ossoff is the candidate and makes the runoff, which looks like he will be, I don't know that from a Democratic standpoint that the message has to change much at all, right? I think our message is pretty lock, stock, and barrel going into this. I think the key difference is going to be the messaging on the Republican side as to who wins and how they're going to try to, do battle with Ossoff if he's the candidate.
Chip, who's the candidate you think would be the toughest for Ossoff to beat? You know, it's interesting. Judson Hill looked early on like the guy who might emerge as at the top of the pack. He's well-known in the state Senate. A lot of things about him that are attractive to voters. It doesn't feel as though he's been able to get the momentum that he needs to be in that runoff. And yet, there are a lot of things about him that might have been appealing to more moderate voters in that district.
Well, and if you saw the Fox News poll or Fox 5 Atlanta poll that came out today, Opinion Savvy poll, that's the first poll that had Judson Hill in second place. So, but again, as we talked about earlier, Judson Hill didn't come to this race with a tremendous amount of name identification district-wide or money, and everybody has. And so I think you're seeing that dynamic manifest itself as we get down to the final days of this race.
Okay, Melita, you get the last word before we move on from the 6th District conversation.
I think that the interesting thing will be to see how high Tuesday's turnout is, because the early voting turnout has been so much greater than expected. And I know that there are really strong plans for canvassing this weekend. And it'll be interesting to see if people just get so tired of having their doors knocked on that they decide to stay at home.
All right, everybody wants
one other thing I'll say just to wrap up, because I know we're running short on time.
No, go ahead. We're fine.
One of the fascinating things about this race, we haven't talked about it only because there's been so much content to talk about, but from the Republican side, I was asked a question yesterday by a reporter that I had to really think before I answered, and that is, in this race, what does it mean to be a Donald Trump Republican in this district? And that is... we knew what a Donald Trump Republican was during the campaign, but it's hard to look right now and say we know what a Donald Trump Republican is. Stuart Rothenberg tweeted out yesterday, CNN ought to commission a debate between candidate Trump and President Trump, and it'd get very high ratings. I want this president to succeed, but it's very difficult to see how he's changed his positions on so many issues. John Ossoff, on the clip that you played, Bill, at the beginning of this show, mentioned the word pragmatic. That's also a word that Debbie Dooley has mentioned on her Facebook page.
Tea Party activist Debbie Dooley
about the president. And so she's going to defend the president and not criticize him when he changes the issues. Not everybody in that movement is like that. And that's been fun to watch. And by the way, Karen Handel has not wrapped both her arms around this president. I think Bob Gray's the only one in Bruce Lavelle that has. And I don't think either one of them are going to be in second place.
All right, Michael, you get the last word, too.
I was just going to say really quick, since all of us get
fine.
A last
Take
word, is that, I don't think we can underestimate the amount of grassroots effort that has gone into this race, right, literally on the ground from thousands of volunteers, right, that have taken, I think as Melita said, right, during the weekend, during the days, evenings. And I don't know, Chip, if that's been as lively on the Republican side. But it's just been phenomenal, the amount of turnout that we've actually seen on the ground.
And I'd love to have a last word saying that I'm not even sure Donald Trump could coherently define what a Donald Trump Republican means in this race.
Well, all right. So we're going to all right. There's no reason to stop. This is a really good conversation. What I'm interested in is, I don't know, Chip, whether I want to be right now figuring out how I stand in relation to President Trump, because you can't win that game right now. Because as you point out, the Trump who ran for president is suddenly entirely different from the Trump who is president. You're getting no cover from your president.
No, that's exactly right. No, that's right. And that's why, as a Republican, you don't want to be in that spot to have to answer that. And I think I think Karen's done a good job of running her own race and saying, I'm going to support the president when I think he's done a good job and I'm going to oppose him. And a lot of the candidates have said that, by the way, not just Karen. A lot of the candidates SF, with the exception of Bob Gray.
All right. Most of you have already started tweeting. I haven't given out our Twitter handle. It is PoliticsGPB. But here's what some of you who have already been talking to us have said. Jeffrey McLaughlin says, "What's John hiding?" referring to the commercial that attacks him. "Couldn't you just watch his documentaries to find out?" Thank you, Jeffrey. Corndog, who tweets at Dogs4, says, "On the flip side, how does Trump tweeting pictures of young females from Georgia at the table crafting policy on healthcare look?" Now, I haven't seen those pictures. Every picture of Trump is with men, white men all around him. But we've got more tweets, and we'll get to them. We have Tim Eccles, who listens to this show pretty faithfully and, of course, is a public service commissioner, says, "Women were soft on Trump due to the video." I assume he means the Access Hollywood video. "That will not be the case this time. Handel has appeal across the spectrum. Karen Handel wins in a runoff." All right, we're going to take a break. Before we do, I just want to announce, as I will again on Monday's show, that if there two things, if there is a runoff, Political Rewind is already to tell you we are going to invite both of the runoff candidates to join us in the studio. It will not be a formal debate with timekeepers. It will not be a debate in which people get opening statements. We want to have an informal conversation with the runoff candidates sometime between Tuesday and June 20th, which is the date for the runoff. So we'll keep you on top of our progress on that. And the winner, if there is one, an out-and-out winner on Tuesday, will have an invitation for us to appear on next Wednesday's show. Tweet us at PoliticsGPB. Before we go to the break, when we come back, here's what we're going to talk about.
But millions of women have been helped by Planned Parenthood. But we're not going to allow and we're not going to fund as long as you have the abortion going on at Planned Parenthood.
Time is running out for your chance to win a beach getaway for two and give our spring fun drive a head start. Listeners like you provide our most important and reliable funding, and your support now at gpb.org will help cover the costs of programs you enjoy. You'll also enter to win a St. Simons Island vacation for two, including a three-night oceanfront stay at the King and Prince, meals, and golf. Your support now, in the amount that's right for you, is so important. Please go to gpb.org, and thanks.
Happy Friday. You're listening to Political Rewind here on Georgia Public Broadcasting, an 18-station radio network of GPB. GPB Atlanta is licensed to Georgia State University, nationally recognized as a leader in innovative programs that help students earn their degrees.
Welcome back to Political Rewind. It's 3:44 on Friday afternoon. Good Friday. So we give a shout out to all of our friends, our listeners who are getting set for the Easter holiday. We're joined by Melita Easter's first appearance on the show. You liking it so far? You having fun?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're glad
Hope you'll have me back.
It's a deal. Chip Lake and Michael Owens join us as well. So we just heard before the break Donald Trump during the campaign saying he thinks Planned Parenthood does an enormous amount of good, Melita, for many, many women. He would protect them, although he said not their abortion services. But we already know that the federal government does not pay for abortions in any case. So, with all that said, Melita, your response to the president yesterday revoking the Obama administration policies that prevented states from barring federal family planning money to Planned Parenthood, particularly, but also to any other family planning organization that does, in fact, do abortions.
It's interesting that he did that sort of secretly. It's not something he did out in the open. It further stokes the fire, though, of the women who feel that he is a misogynistic president. For example, he also secretly revoked Obama-era protections for women in the workplace. And the news of that came out on Equal Pay Day earlier in the month. So it's just a part of his consistent pattern of misogynistic policy, which mirrors his consistent personal pattern of misogynistic behavior. And that makes women increasingly angry. For example, last week, Winless trained more than 200 women who hope to run for office. Never before have we had that many interested women who want to run for office or work in the campaigns of other women who want to run for office.
Chip, your take on this?
One of the problems Republicans have had with the Planned Parenthood issue in Washington is, you know, we haven't, most people do, we haven't done budgets up there in a long, long time. We, you know, it's continuing resolutions. And so the base has been very critical of the leadership and the members up there saying the Republicans are funding Planned Parenthood. They're not funding Planned Parenthood in the budget. It's a continuing resolution. It's Title X money that goes to eligible healthcare providers, agencies to perform procedures other than abortions. But it seems like on the Republican side, we've lost the messaging on that, and it becomes you're funding abortions. We haven't done that. And one of the reasons he probably didn't do it in public is because Ivanka probably told him he couldn't. she's been pretty clear on this issue in his ear. And but he was, you know, he's also he was pretty adamant about it during the campaign. And you know, he campaigned on this. This is what he campaigned on. And before it was an Obama era rule, it was law of the land. So we're going back to where it was before Obama had changed it. It'd be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, I think, and this was one of the things that Obama did in some of his last days, right?
Yeah.
But to Chip's point, right, I think the messaging kind of gets overblown here to the specific message around abortion. But the reality of it is when you talk about service, it's also services mm-hmm. related to, you know, contraceptives, sexually transmitted infections, fertility, pregnancy care, breast and cervical cancer, right? So you look at all of these other services. So when Melita says about, you know, this trend of attacking women or going after women, you can see when you start to expand it beyond just abortion, right? There's a lot mm-hmm. of key issues that fall up under this that are really heart and soul's message mm-hmm. of getting people, you know, hopefully out to the polls on Tuesday.
Well, all right. But here's my question in regard to that. You would think, perhaps, that the Republicans would have some problems, that the Trump administration would have some problems taking an action that they thought could alienate women voters out there. But the reality is, Melita, there are an awful lot of women, white women, we know this, who voted for Donald Trump, who said, we're not worried about his positions on other, we just don't like Hillary Clinton. So, in some ways, I wonder if he felt a certain freedom that he doesn't have to worry about whether he's going to turn off women who voted for him anyway.
Possibly, but I think some of the women, and there's a large swath of the demographic base which voted for Trump, which is now being directly harmed by his policies, who are now regretting that they voted for Trump.
But you're speculating about that, right?
Well, I know a few, but okay. I've read the interviews.
Anecdotal information is perfectly reasonable. Yeah. Go ahead.
And I think that what you're now seeing is the women who perhaps now regret their votes for Trump are certainly willing to cross the aisle and vote for someone like Ossoff, who is the antithesis of a Trump.
Yeah, it's not newsworthy that Republicans have been very critical of Planned Parenthood and how they've gone about their business over time. And so Donald Trump taking that position it is not something that's out of the mainstream for Republicans. We've always been a pro-life party. We've always heard the criticism for decades that it's going to alienate women. And it does to some, and it certainly doesn't to others. And we've elected Republican presidents and everything through that. It's also important to know that any Title X funding activity doesn't just all go to Planned Parenthood. Any federal qualified FQHC, federally qualified health center, can perform those services. And I think that's important. So it's not like Donald Trump's taking this money out of the federal budget and saying these other services cannot be provided.
Yes, but Planned Parenthood is certainly the biggest and best known.
Sure.
I mean, if you're a woman in a poor community who's looking for family planning services, forget about an abortion, for breast cancer screening, whatever, whatever the things that Michael pointed out, Planned Parenthood is probably the one organization that you not only know about, but that you may trust going to. So we shouldn't forget that, I don't think. Melita, what happens in Georgia? Well, let's make the point, by the way, and then I'm going to ask you the question. Let's not forget that the Republican replacement for the Affordable Care Act included language that would strip Planned Parenthood of all federal funding for a year. Where they came up with a year is beyond me. That seemed like an odd thing. Why not just say we're never going to fund them again?
I think that was a Freedom Caucus sweetener that didn't work.
Well, fine, but it was there. They were willing to propose it. If the Freedom Caucus had accepted it, that bill may very well have passed. Melita, what's going to happen in Georgia as a result of this?
I'm not sure there's an easy way to predict that. The Georgia legislature has demonstrated some pretty abusive towards women attitudes. You saw that in the campus rape bill with Earl Earhart and his behavior during this past session. There are other ways that the Georgia legislature has a strong misogynistic streak. And you also have a state capitol, which is a completely pale male patriarchy. There's not a single woman who holds statewide office. There's not a single African-American who holds statewide office. And so the women's advocates in Georgia are certainly gearing up for tough fights on a lot of fronts in Georgia. Planned Parenthood, not the least among them, and its funding for women's health services.
So, Michael, if I were a Republican running in 2018, whether it's a legislative race, whatever, I'm not sure that the Trump administration, by signing this into law, did me any favors, because it forces me now to take a position on whether I think the state of Georgia ought to strip funds from any family planning agency, including Planned Parenthood, that performs abortions. Maybe because you just don't know enough about how your, you know, the constituents are going to react to this sort of thing. If I'm running for governor, especially in 2018, I'd be very leery about this.
Yeah, it definitely takes that, you know, from being able to just cast Congress and Washington as the bad guys, right, and throws it squarely in our laps here in Georgia. So, as a Republican, I wouldn't want it. And it really is going to force them to say what side of the issue we're going to be on this, right? Each one of those candidates, I think it would force it. It'd be a great opportunity to have, because you'd almost force some of these candidates to be able to have to say where they would stand with it.
All right. We've just got a couple minutes left, and I want to get to at least one other issue that we said we would in the opening of the show. Chip, let me start with you on this. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley. He's been the subject of an investigation for a long time now because of a sex scandal involving a high-ranking official in the administration, a woman who he was sending suggestive, shall we use that word, notes to, we think, had an affair with. And rather than face impeachment, he resigned the other day.
I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did.
Yeah, though, it is surprising.
I think he thought since he was in the final 2 years of his term, he could ride it out. But, it didn't work out that way, and he had to resign.
Now, the other interesting thing to point out here is that, and by the way, we should say what's maybe ironic, if you think that a man in power might be taking advantage of a female who works for him. I'm not saying that is the case, but if that's a scenario you could imagine, it's particularly interesting that he's been replaced in the governor's office by a woman.
Who promises to clean things up, as we often do.
And Alabama's got a long way to go in that. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this briefly is we often talk about how, thank God for Mississippi, because it makes Georgia look better. Well, thank goodness for Alabama. I mean, there in the last year alone, we now have Bentley resigning, former House Speaker Mike Hubbard, who was caught in a terrible financial conflict of interest scandal, and Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore forced out of office, too, because he issued orders that his judges in Alabama shouldn't pay attention to the gay marriage decision by the United States Supreme Court. Michael, Alabama's got problems.
Thank goodness we're not Alabama.
Well, and Billy, it's also to note Kay Ivey, who was the lieutenant governor who took over.
Yeah.
One of the first things she did when she was sworn in, I believe it was Wednesday, is she terminated the employment of the husband who was running the faith-based initiative office for Governor Bentley, the husband of the mistress of the former governor. So it is. It's great to not be in Alabama right now and having to deal with all that.
I just wonder how many people have sent Governor Bentley bottles of scorned woman hot sauce anonymously.
Oh, yes. I didn't know there was such a thing.
There is. I've always thought it had the best label.
Lisa Clark, would you find a link to the Scorned Woman Hot Sauce website and post it on the blog for today's show? Thank you very much. That's great. Last note before we leave. Less do you think that Sean Spicer is the only one this week who is having troubles with figuring out how he feels about Adolf Hitler. From our other neighboring state, North Carolina, this really strange story. North Carolina Republican Larry Pittman said the other day that Abraham Lincoln is the same sort of tyrant as was Adolf Hitler. He was talking about same-sex marriage. I don't know how he got to and his his concerns about the fact that that we have lived under the tyranny of a Supreme Court decision. I'd say, Melita, the Republicans have got to stop talking about Adolf Hitler.
I would think that might be a strong strategy for them to adopt.
Right. He might have been trying to change the subject from the bathroom issue in North Carolina.
Well, that might be. He chose the wrong way
to do it. Yes, he did.
So from what I understand, he equated him to Hitler, I'm assuming because of the Civil War and the lives that was lost.
Yes, he says 800,000
people had died. I think it's just time for them to learn to take Hitler out of the vocabulary.
Yeah, that's
right?
My point.
And just leave it alone.
That's my point. They have better arguments to make.
I think Sean learned that lesson this week.
Yeah.
Sean learned that.
I'm not sure. Sean seems to be kind of dense with learning things.
Yeah.
He seems to be
pretty dense with grammar as well.
We are completely out of time for today's show. I will say Edward Funtz just tweeted us, fantastic job. And he says, I hope Chuck Todd was listening to Political Rewind today for his show prep. Well, we'll all be watching to see Jim Galloway on MTP Daily on MSNBC at 5 o'clock this afternoon. In the meantime, thank you to Chip Lake, Michael Owens, Melita Easters. I'm Bill Nygut. We're back Monday at 2 with our final show before that incredibly important 6th District congressional race. Theron Johnson, Brian Robinson will be with us. It should be fun. Have a great weekend and a happy Easter to all of you out there. We'll see you again on Monday.